Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello. Good, I suppose, evening. In a nod to someone who posted on the Facebook page, it's 7:08 p.m. BST.
And it's still daylight.
Yes, with interestingly dark clouds, which make me thank frack I'm actually not walking tomorrow. Well, that and gale force winds that we got yesterday. Literally, I walked up my road this morning and every tree on the exposed side of the road was bent at about 15-20 degree angle off the vertical.
Yeah, I saw some pictures from Ireland last night. You had it pretty bad compared to most of the mainland.
Winds gusting 60 to 80 miles an hour. It's practically hurricane force. So, okay, we've got the time and the weather discussion out of the way.
Yeah.
That should satisfy our fan.
Yeah. So it's good evening, folks. Welcome to the weather report. Presented by Accurist. Okay.
Brought to you and sponsored by Apophis. When you want a ghoul to suppress your enemies, destroy your towns and enslave your people, pick Apophis every time. That's Twitter. What is the orange box?
Half-Life 2 Special Edition. That came out about 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm just seeing the tweet from Shooter. I picked up the orange box last week. Shooter Junior GWC saw it and nabbed it. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, it's probably the Half-Life 2 Special Edition.
I got about 3/4 of the way through that. I did love the gravity gun. That was fun. Anything becomes a weapon. I used to wander around with the radiator attached to the thing and hurl at that thing. It was fun. You know the problem with chatting to Adriana between 3 and 5 hours a night, depending on the night? It seriously cuts into my TV watching.
Or sleeping.
Well, no, not so much as usually the weekends. I have got a watching Game of Thrones.
Ah, good.
What did you think of the Crown of Gold?
He deserved it.
Oh, wasn't he beautifully played as an annoying prat?
Well, he had so many delusions of grandeur. It was all going fantastically. Then all of a sudden, you know, when they were riding through that field and he jumped off his horse and grabbed her. Whips comes round and all of a sudden he realises he's lost control of her.
There's a lot more background in the book.
I would imagine so.
Maniacal.
Good word.
Yes. Sorry, I shouldn't be reading the pre-teaser while you're actually sitting there patiently. Twitter, transcript. I suppose I should tweet that we're about to record, shouldn't I?
Yeah, why not?
And my brain tells me this is episode 88.
That is correct.
Well, actually got it right. Okay, given the email when we recorded last, I think that's an appropriate tweet.
What have you put?
About to record Gatecast episode 88, Enemies. Tweet or read it, comma, now, comma, not in 3 months. I looked at the video you put on the group page.
Which one?
There's only one. The one that's under videos. It's me telling a story about catching a cat's tail in a doorway. It was intriguing. I was like, he didn't tell me he was putting this up. This is Mike's way of seeing if I look at the page.
Well, it's been there about, what, 3-4 months, hasn't it?
Probably. I should probably pull up the Gatecast Facebook, just for the sake of it. You know, Facebook now continuously signs me out. It will not leave me signed in.
Well, nothing surprises me about Facebook.
I think I said that I was on Facebook while watching The Social Network. How meta is that? The space Gatecast. Hang on, let me just... I knew I had to have something else open. Thinking, I've got all these web pages open. Oh, wait, I don't actually have the episode ready to go. Always useful after the video. Start it. Sit. Stay. Good line. Nice, Aslan. Not Aslan at all. Not even a little. Before we go in, I can do a personal little bugbear on this.
Go on, then.
They call the episode at the end of season 4 one thing, and they call it part 1. Then they call it part 2, but they don't give it the same name. They give it something else, which implies... Okay, where's Enemies Part 1? If you're going to call it Part 1 and Part 2, stick to the same damn name.
That would make some sense, if it really bothered you, which obviously it does.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, did I not convey that? As my friend Liz says, you'll get splinters sitting on that fence, Alan.
Yeah.
Yes, I am somewhat bothered by it. I swear I'll never use that word again.
What, bothered?
With the double V pronunciation.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, I watched the Doctor Who Weakest Link special last night.
Oh, no, Tate want on it, was she?
Not by the time I started watching it, no.
Oh, well, that's where I thought the bothered came from.
Although Anne Robinson came up with a beautiful one to Camille, who she said to her, "So, in Doctor Who, you play a desperate middle-aged slapper. Any particular reason you think they picked you for that job?" I had someone on my Facebook giving out to me saying, "She's not a blonde slapper, she just plays one."
Plays it very well. So true to life.
I doubt you listen to podcasts, so I'm not going to get in trouble.
Who is she?
The actress is called Camille. The character is Rose's mother.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, to be fair, I've only seen her in one other thing, and she played a blonde slapper in that, pretty much.
I swear to God, season one of... In fact, I think they gave a nod to it. Weren't they on the EastEnders set at one point?
I don't know. Why, was she in EastEnders?
No, but she looks like she could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, if you've got a London accent, you turn up in EastEnders sooner or later.
And I think there's another Irish actor in EastEnders.
Yeah, I'm going to say, when did this podcast become Soapwatch 2011?
It's vaguely sci-fi related.
I mean, neither of us are well-versed in what's going on in the current batch of British soaps.
Thank the gods.
Yes, we know they're on in a vague sort of way.
In a kind of meta zeitgeist, you know what I'm fracking saying? Yeah. I can't pronounce my German words. I'd like to publicly thank the German Discworld Convention for booking me a B&B for the Thursday night when the castle was full.
Oh, you sort of some tired, have you?
No, they offered. And I said, "Thank you very much for offering. I'll bring a bottle of very old single malt scotch and give you a large sample." They seem intrigued.
Well, it worked in America.
It worked very bloody well in America. And that wasn't scotch. I'm bringing scotch next year.
Ah, right. Oh, that were whiskey, wasn't it?
Yes, that were whiskey with an E.
I could say, is there really any difference? Probably get hung by...
Oh,
many,
God, no. You get people actually tracking you down.
Let's not throw bourbon into the mix either.
Bourbon has pointed this out. Someone, "Oh, it's Jack Daniel's whiskey." I'm like, "No, Jack Daniel's is bourbon, not whiskey." They even say old Kentucky bourbon. It's written on the damn bottle.
And of course, that bothers you.
No, it is bourbon. It's not whiskey. It doesn't bother me. I'm simply stating a fact. I'm not bothered at all.
This is Robert Picardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
And Richard Woolsey from Stargate Atlantis.
This is Vanessa Angel. This is Maris Rose.
This is Christopher Heyerdahl.
This is Clifton Collins Jr.
This is Mally from Dollhouse.
This is Alistair. And you're just listening to the sweet and tasty sounds of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
Live long and prosper.
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
I got a bad feeling about this.
There is no spoon.
Hello, I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Miles P. McLaughlin, and we are the hosts of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
We're just ordinary sci-fi fanboys.
In each show, we bring you the latest news from the sci-fi movie and television universe, along with our commentary on it.
We review the shows and movies that we're watching.
We bring you interviews with Stargate, Dollhouse, Star Trek cast members, and many more notables.
And test your geek cred with the trivia that all sci-fi addicts should know.
We also occasionally give things away.
If you are a lover of all things sci-fi, then come dine with us as we host the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
You can find us on iTunes.
Or on our website at sci-fi-diner.com.
Shall we kick the episode off? I think we've had enough random bull.
Yeah, I'm all set to go.
How much of which you choose to edit out is entirely up to you. Although after what Adriana said to me, I'm going to actually start listening to this.
Why? What did she say?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Previously on Stargate SG-1.
This is a sun that Borash is orbiting.
That is Teok saying previously on Stargate SG-1. And we have the completely pointless holographic effect.
Yes, basically this whole teaser is all the CGI from the previous episode.
Because, hell, it was expensive and we're going to reuse it.
And why not? Makes a pretty good introduction to the fifth season.
We must not allow Tama to escape.
There's no mistake in the fact that this is an effects-heavy TV show.
Oh, yes. And the last season on Showtime, we're fairly convinced.
Mayday! We're so going in!
Jack, can you hear me?
Yeah, you've got to include that line.
Oh yeah, we are so going in. Ad-libbed by Jack. And here we have a sort of pasty white version of Monument. Oh, that's a big ship.
I say, as a teaser, this...
As dramatic effects go, you know, he's standing there and then boom, like, oh, I'm going to fall over now.
Less than 4 minutes before the sun begins to supernova.
Daniel, just get me the hell out of here, will ya?
It's a shame he only got accurate with that one shot.
Yes, it really should have been able to take Jack the surprise here.
Oops.
Yes, and now for the little surprise.
Sir, where's Teal'c?
I think he's dead.
We've traveled over 4 million light years.
That's impossible.
It's going to take us 125 years to get back.
You know, Jack seems remarkably calm about Teal'c being dead until we have the giant Apophis ship. And the random blueness, which I think TNG used at one point to indicate deep, deep space, because nothing there. Technically, they're in intergalactic space.
And now, the conclusion.
He's arming weapons.
Shields?
Ah,
yes.
New content.
Yeah.
Not responding.
They decided not to try sinking the thing back into the console because they realized the hydraulics are really crappy. So instead we have, I hate to say this, and I'm not critiquing the set design, but that red thing in the middle of cheap plastic.
It does.
It's meant to be a ruby, but it doesn't look great at all.
And say what?
I don't know, don't shoot.
Great, Lord Apophis. I am Salmac of the Tok'ra, commander of this ship.
Commander?
You want to bicker about rank now?
I say, they've got no weapon. They can't run away.
Yeah, Jacob's like, shut up, Jack.
Yeah, which one's going to browbeat Jack?
We did just destroy his fleet.
He says it's time for us to die.
You think?
I think pissed is sort of Apophis' default mood. There's pissed, really pissed, and extremely pissed.
Yes.
And occasionally sort of viciously happy.
Now, I wonder if subtitles would have been a better idea here, having Jacob translate everything.
Probably cheaper to have Jacob translate everything.
He's going to destroy us. We surrender.
What? Dan?
Seriously, the actor's time would probably cost less than someone to work up subtitles and transcript.
What
did
he say?
Too late.
Yes, Apophis has finally realised that the best way to deal with SG-1 is just to kill him straight away.
Yes.
Done this at the beginning.
We wouldn't have had a show to comment on.
And fade.
While the credit sequence on, if I can ask briefly, when we finish Season 5, I'll be onto UK discs, which means I'll actually be able to watch them beforehand. Do you want me to? Please give feedback. I'm serious. I will go with whatever the most popular choice is. Do you feel we'll lose spontaneity? Do you feel the podcast might become more professional? Okay, anyway, go on.
Right then. Enemies, directed by Martin Wood. And brace for it, story by Brad Wright, Robert C. Cooper, Joseph Malozzi, and Paul Mully.
Ooh, teleplay by Robert C. Cooper, I see.
Yeah, so basically he gets, he probably put the final draft to it, but very much a collaborative effort. First June 29th, 2001 on Showtime.
And I see, certainly on the first disc, him and Peter are alternating directing duties. That's a very nice outside shot. I know you like the outside shot of ships, so I just thought I'd comment on it for a change.
Yes.
Can't stand it. What's he waiting for?
Well, and you think, my God, he's missed. And then...
No, he's shooting at...
something else.
Yes.
What happened?
I'm picking up another ship on sensors. It's coming in fast.
What is that?
It's another ship on sensors.
Well, yes, I see that. That looks like an Asgard ship.
Yeah, Jacob's sensible. While they're shooting, let's run for it.
They're actually shooting down the bolts of energy. That's pretty impressive.
It's not as if it's a missile, is it? It's actually...
No! What the hell are they firing?
Unless it's Apophis' ship is using some kind of like drone weaponry.
We're not going to see drones for at least 4 seasons.
Some sort of drone weaponry.
Shoot first, send flowers later. Works.
But it only fired at Apophis, right? Not us.
Well, his ship's a much bigger threat.
You think they were trying to save us?
It's possible.
We may still find out. We're not going to get far on sublight engines. And whoever wins the fight will probably come looking for us.
Jonathan Glassner's executive consultant?
Now what do you do?
This system is centered around a blue giant. If we can move close enough to the chronosphere, the radiation should keep us off their sensors.
Excuse me? Radiation?
Well, the ship's hull will protect us.
Jack.
Really, Jack? Given what you do for a living, given the insane amount of danger you're in blowing the sun up in the first place, you're concerned about a few rads now?
Yes, he was standing next to a nuclear weapon in a movie not so long ago.
Can we blow up another sun?
Well, the sun is useful for so many things. If we can't blow it up, we can hide in it. Sensors.
The bad news is that our sensors will be blocked as well.
So when we're ready to go, we won't know if someone's out there waiting for us.
How long do we have?
About an hour with our full shields. 10 hours with them. Sam, you want to give me a hand?
I'd fix the shields first.
Right, Jack.
Just a suggestion.
My, what a big gun you have, Jack. Look at him. Oh, poor Jack. He's sulking.
Jack looks ticked off. Well, he's... I don't have any lines, so I'm just going to wander around and wave my arms about and try and get the audience to notice me.
He's realised that at this point, Jacob and Selma are pretty much in charge.
Didn't Jacob outrank Jack anyway?
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
Shields are back online.
Ooh, it's lit up. Yay. Great. What did he just fix? Seriously.
Yeah, that's the hyperdrive systems are totally mushed.
Oh, boy.
How bad is it?
It's bad. The hyperdrive control crystals are all completely shot.
We already used the backups.
Has anyone actually translated what's written behind Jack there on the faux marble?
You think somebody has somewhere, but I couldn't find any trace of it.
I'm impressed you went looking.
Well, it's the sort of question everybody would ask. What does that mean? Oh, boy.
Not really.
The boys have got nothing to do.
So, Daniel decides, let's talk about our feelings. Yeah, Daniel always goes down so well with Jack.
Jack is lying down, you know.
He's a soldier. He takes the opportunity to kip when it happens. You never know when it's going to get all exciting. You need to focus. Sleep when you can. A trained soldier could sleep in almost any situation. I've read a lot of Bravo 2-0 type of...
It's almost a lull in the action.
This is time for introspection. And, you know, like soft, fluffy hugs and that. What is Daniel fiddling with?
It's his hat, isn't it?
Because it looked like a set of rolled-up lockpicks or something. But I've been perhaps watching too much Game of Thrones recently.
Yeah, it's his hat. It rolls it up.
And this is the first time we've seen the SGC since the second last episode of Season 4. So for some people, it's been about 3 or 4 months.
Nothing much changes, though.
Are we going to hear loud thumping noises then?
Oh. Hope not, because it's a Tok'ra.
Receiving Tok'ra IDC, sir.
Open the arm.
Is it a Tok'ra we know? No.
Stand down. Welcome to Earth. I'm General Hammond.
I'm Councilwoman Ren Al of the Tok'ra.
Would you please come this way?
That colour looks painfully high.
Yeah.
I assume you have news.
Yes.
And there's Martin Wood.
Just standing beside the door as they went through?
Standing next to Dan Shea.
I didn't see Dan Shea, sorry. I was focused on the Tok'ra. I did recognise him. I've seen him before.
Might have been an extra in other episodes.
Even if it was just a Tok'ra person in background.
In close proximity as it happened.
As far as you can tell.
Our data only captures the time prior to the blast wave. An energy burst of that magnitude blacks out sensor readings and will continue to do so for some time. However, I can assure you, there's no way for a mothership to have survived.
Yes, Renal, played by Jennifer Calvert.
No. A single one-man pod was launched from Apophis's mothership several minutes prior to the explosion.
Apophis?
It is possible. But that would mean he had anticipated the explosion and his fleet should have escaped.
Then who was it?
So somebody escaped.
Yes.
And we know it wasn't Apophis. So who do we know that's a sneaky swine? We'll see later in the season.
...during the explosion that could be explained by ships attempting to enter hyperspace.
Do you think they're General Hammond's mission badges?
I'd assume so. You don't always wear his ribbons, unless he's in dress.
Some Black Ops stuff there too. Well, I'm just assuming based on the fact that the badge is black.
If they had, they should have contacted us by now. You can rest assured, whether or not SG-1 survived, their action has thrown the Gaul into chaos. The resultant void and dominant power will have the remaining system lords fighting each other for years to come.
She's not very positively thinking, is she?
Well, would you? Our sensors...
Well, given what they've survived to date, I think they show a certain tendency to buck the odds.
A sun went nova.
Okay, the odds are a little extreme. But how many times have they been written off as dead? Hell, it started in episode 1. Okay, we think they're dead. Oh, wait, no, they're not. Okay, we think they're dead. Oh, wait, no, they're not again.
They've already written off Selmac.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's a nice shot. That's an extremely bright shot.
This engine room map painting done by Jeremy Huey.
Oh, you mean in the background?
Yes.
Because I was thinking, much of that is real, and I figure it probably doesn't extend much more than about 10 foot up.
It's getting a little hot up here, kids.
We're running out of time.
That is a highly polished floor.
It isn't it? Some poor Jaffa's got to keep that buffed up.
Well, that's how the Jaffas get buff, you know? You get buff by buffing. Oh, come on, I couldn't not say that. Nice feed line, by the way, thanks.
Well, in the short term, it'll be hard to avoid enemy ships.
Weapons and shields?
Good for now.
Good enough to cover our butts from whatever is out there?
We'll see. Moving out of the Coronasphere. Sensors are coming back online. Picking up one ship.
This is a problem now. They don't know what's out there until they leave protection of the sun.
It's Apophis.
What about the other one?
It's not out there.
Can Apophis see us yet?
He should be able to, but he's not moving.
Maybe his ship was damaged in the battle.
So there we go. Apophis is in the middle of a firefight, yet his ship remains intact.
Yes.
Could he have won?
Care to share? It says that there's no life signs on board.
Wouldn't it be nice to be able to watch these for the first time again and actually wonder what's going to happen?
No, it's more fun. We've gathered fans. I like our fans. Hi, fans.
You know, those ships just do not look right flying. They don't look like proper space. It's like the TARDIS when it's flying through space. It doesn't belong in space.
It's not a ship designed to operate in atmosphere.
What's that got to do with anything?
It doesn't have to be streamlined. It can be an odd shape.
I know. It just, you know, the huge pyramid in the centre of the ship, it just doesn't look right.
It's a matter of style. I'm sure there are secondary embarkation rooms. I like the fact that the rings go point to point on the pyramid. It's a nice touch.
Well, it's only energy, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's how you'd imagine it.
God, once the energy gets into the receptor, it can probably be moved anywhere in the ship.
What's he say?
Self-destruct is set. We have 4 minutes. I'll try and shut it off from the Peltex.
Now, this is actually the same set used for both ring rooms.
Yes, but it just relit.
This has just been coloured red with lots of braziers.
Yes.
Works remarkably well.
Well, I mean, a ghoul ship is a ghoul ship. They tend to not modify the design that much. You know, one arrogant, megalomaniacal lunatic is the same as the next one.
You know how to have a good time, don't you?
Having a good time now, sir.
You go, girl.
Ooh.
Dead Jaffa. Lots of dead Jaffa. Jack, what did you do? Did you shoot these? Did you come over earlier and kill them for me?
And Jack's going to be jealous. Other people killing Jaffa, that's not all right. I think he may have got a little help there, because he looks like a big... Ooh.
Clear.
Ew.
Oh. Ooh, ooh, what was that?
Oh, I know where that were.
What was it?
And if we read the little precis that was on your disc, we'd all know that there.
Jacob, do you read?
Yeah.
We should get out of here.
Yes, once again.
There's something actually sets your teeth on edge about that noise, isn't there? It's the mechanical guys.
Yes, Jacob's come to the same conclusion.
Oh, you think?
Guys, what's going on?
The ship's crawling with replicators.
Sam, I'm not going to be able to shut down the auto-destruct. I'll meet you back at the ring room.
I'm still going to try and get the crystals.
You have 3 minutes. Daniel, you're going to have to fly that ship out of here as soon as we ring back aboard.
And you're going to have to tell me how to do that.
It's frightening to think that they're in an unknown galaxy, yet here are the replicators.
Sam, Jack, 1 minute.
Sam, Jack, you read?
Activate the ring!
I mean, the Asgard may be fighting a do-or-die battle in their galaxy, but... Do you have to hold a Zat gun with 2 hands? Seriously, Jacob.
What is the point in Jacob holding a Zat gun? What is the point in a Zat gun against these things?
Yeah, we know they don't work.
It just ticks them off.
This is a nice set, because they've just run that way in one direction. Now they're running back in the other direction, but you think the vessel is huge.
That was a very nice dissolve and ring switch, wasn't it?
Especially sliding in, because if you slid a bit too far...
Then he loses a boot, or possibly a foot.
Yes.
Our drive is there.
We're going to have to hope the sublight engines can get us far enough away.
Of course, that's only going to matter if the replicators can't shut down the auto-destruct.
They have to learn to reprogram a gold computer awfully quick.
It's possible if they get control of that ship.
Hey! You guys just be too negative. We're not going to make it.
Going as fast as we can.
And there's a replicator ship. It's the big blue thing on the screen. clearly they got, after your critique of it at the season wrap-up last week, they got rid of the little eyepiece thing.
Oh, there goes our ship. Shame about that. Never mind. So they can't outrun it, so full stop, shields, we'll ride it out.
I believe someone said we're not going to make it.
Sam, let's get the hyperdrive running.
Excuse me. I distinctly remember someone saying, we're not going to make it.
Yes, Jack.
I think we made it.
I'm sorry, I overreacted. At the time, it looked very much like we weren't going to make it.
Yes, well, maybe next time you'll just wait and see.
And blow the last chance I might ever have to be right.
Jacob is not going to play the game.
What?
Welcome to my life.
What?
Yes, Sam, you rub it in a bit. He's poking a bear. You lost that one, Jack.
Oh, duh.
I wonder if this is the beginning of Jack being portrayed as a bit silly at times.
Engine room, this is Peltag engine room. Come in immediately.
I think we've left him in charge once too often.
What is it, Daniel?
I'm picking up a ship on the sensors.
But did they? I didn't see them actually grabbing crystals at any point.
Well,
we're assuming.
Yeah, they had to have the reveal of the replicators in both locations and then run for it, so.
Looks like someone must have escaped Apophis' ship before the bugs took over.
Who?
It's a Go old cargo ship.
I'm sending a hailing signal.
Triangle Man, Triangle Man hates Particle Man. They have a fight, Triangle wins, Triangle Man.
You know, we really should talk.
Identify yourself.
Ooh.
Teal.
Yes.
O'Neill.
You made it.
Apophis revived me in his sarcophagus. We fled his ship when the replicators attacked.
We?
The sensors are picking up other life signs aboard the ship.
What you got with you, Teal?
A few Jaffa who supported our cause. They helped me escape.
Tell the truth, Teal'c. You sound a bit rough, Teal'c.
Yes.
Everything all right?
Now, you see...
Welcome back.
Thank you, O'Neill.
It's a shame Jack didn't say, open the cargo bay doors, Al.
Yes.
You know, it would have been a nice touch.
And all this work was done by Kent Matheson, another one of the artists in the franchise.
Hey!
Friends, comrades.
Big hole in your t-shirt.
Buddy.
Oops, cue the music.
Cue the orangey, reddish guards.
You bought friends.
What you got going here, Teal?
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
That's
indeed.
Not good.
Well done, Teal. Finally, you have resumed your rightful position as my first prime.
Hoffus does know how to make an entrance, though. So I'll give him that.
Well, been doing it for thousands of years. I suppose you pick up the habit after a while.
Now, you'd think he'd learn. Shoot him. Shoot him now.
I'd nearly suggest that scene from Austin Powers 2. I got a gun in my room. We can do it together.
All right, this is feeling like a strange plan, but just let me know what to do and when.
Ah! Oh!
Wait!
Oh. Did he just pistol whip Jack?
Yes, and he did make contact.
Oh, the commentary said so?
Yes, and that's the shot they used.
I have never ceased to be in the service of my God.
All right. That's sounding a little brainwashy. You don't believe that guy's a god any more than I do.
Not quite as insane as William Friedkin, then.
Who's that?
During the filming of The Exorcist, just before he was shooting a scene where one of the priest characters has been shocked by something, he came up behind him and fired a blank pistol about a foot away from his ear.
Oh.
And filmed the reaction. Obviously, he wasn't expecting it.
No, I'd imagine not.
Reagan was a bit of a lunatic.
It makes me ill to think I was forced to pretend to be your friend. So many times I saved your life when I wished I could watch you die.
It hurts me that you would say that.
Ooh, look at this tilt. So has these past 4 years all been a lie?
Because I know it's not true.
Your belief is not necessary.
It doesn't make any sense. Come on, you and I together have taken down a half a dozen ghouls.
Enemies of Apophis.
And we kicked his ass twice.
Hell, you sat around and watched him die once.
I knew he would be reborn more powerful than ever.
I'm talking to a wall here. Anybody?
Teal, can you remember when Apophis brainwashed your son, Ryak?
Jack, that's all right. That's a bit girly, isn't it, Jack? I know you don't mean it. This makes a lot of sense, yeah. Though, doesn't it? Everything Teal'c is saying makes sense.
Of course.
He's been deep undercover, wiping out the enemies of his god.
Unload the sarcophagus and the crates from the cargo ship.
Yeah, reasoned argument.
When I saw the replicators, I remembered a scene from the end of this episode.
I don't wonder why they didn't put us in the brig.
If it's on one of the lower levels, it was probably damaged in the firefight.
Yes.
I presume it's like simple swimming.
Think you can hotwire this thing?
Well, I'd assume there's some sort of safety mechanism to ensure against that. I mean, otherwise it'd be pretty stupid to lock us in here, wouldn't it?
How dare he? He switched the lock off.
Of course I can.
It's like C4. There's only about 30 possibilities, but I assume it locks out after 3 incorrect attempts. Or at most 5. He looks really cute in that t-shirt. She does. She's sort of, you know, this is kind of semi-casual, Sam. I know it's desert gear, but it looks like the kind of stuff she'd be, you know, like you replace the combat trousers with a pair of sweats and you can imagine her sitting there eating pizza and drinking wine.
Wine? No, beer. From the can.
You think so?
Whee! Oh, nice, isn't it? Always does look brilliant.
I mean, what are in these crates? Is that an aqueduct?
It must be something they had to take off the mothership.
Well, yes, but probably not what they wanted to take off the mothership when we find out what it actually is. And I think they purely did that shot from the outside so we could admire the set designers walking the wall. Look at how pretty it is. I built this.
Now, this was an actual practical effect. Cover is polystyrene and they're just squirting gasoline onto it, and it works remarkably well.
That big?
It does look a bit big, but that's Apophis's personal sarcophagus.
But don't forget about Selma. That gun's work on Jafar.
Yes.
And we have no tweets. Oh, I was promised a tweet.
Disgusting decoration.
Course has been plotted for Delmac, diverting all power from shields and weapons and entering hyperspeed.
Now, you'd think Apophis would make sure he always had a cushion for that throne, because it does look a bit uncomfortable. I mean, he's probably missing all his concubines.
Well, actually, he doesn't look too comfortable on the throne. Yeah, the actor's kind of gone, you know? I know it's only faux marble, but still.
I will see to it personally, my lord. I'm sure you will not fail me, Teal'c.
Teal'c looks good, I've got to admit this. He looks the perfect picture of the loyal warrior.
Yes. Personally, if I was Teal'c, I'd be shoving that up Apophis's. Anyway.
If Braytac could see him now, he'd probably shoot him.
Next week.
I really have no idea what I'm doing here.
Keep trying. You might get lucky.
Sir, I really hate to sound negative, but I think it's pretty safe to say that without a little more insight into how these things actually work, I've got pretty much zero chance of hitting them.
Jack's not going to accept that as an excuse, though. Yes. Little humour there. Oops, left it too late.
Well, I knew he probably figured a character would open the door.
Inside.
The question is, though, where was Teal'c hiding when Jacob came along to open the door?
Very good question.
Come on, Teal'c. Part of you has to know the truth.
The truth is, you are a prisoner of Apophis. When the symbiote that I carry matures, you will become its host.
Okay, I meant the other truth.
I know there's plenty of little hidden spaces on the corridors, but you thought Jacob...
If he pissed and whipped his face, why is the cut off his eye?
That was there beforehand. No messing.
Yeah, wouldn't that cause the door to close?
Well, in Star Wars, it would totally destroy the lock mechanism both sides.
Mm-hmm. We shall die long before we reach Delmac without new symbiotes.
Apophis will live on, and we shall serve him well until we die with honor in his name.
Well, that's not much of a Jafar, is it? You can't worry about your own life.
No.
You tell him, Teal'c. In fact, shoot him right where he stands.
My lord, the internal sensors have shut down.
Yes, you've got problems, mate.
Power's being diverted from the hyperdrive engines.
Never been called that before.
We just dropped out of hyperspeed.
My lord, the ship's systems are failing. I am unable to bring the engines back online.
Arak, Carmel!
Isn't it nice that this practical effect can tell prisoners when they have no other way of knowing what's going on? It's convenient for plot purposes. Oh, okay, which I wonder what it feels like. This making not.
No, I think Battlestar used to get the FTL jump right. Everybody basically used to stop moving because they knew it was coming and it wasn't going to be pleasant.
Oh, this can't be
good. That's not good. One of them's bad enough.
Well, one of them's all you need.
Yes, no, don't bother them. Jokes like, walk out.
The Terry have weapons which can defeat.
Odd.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even Daniel's looking skeptical.
Oh.
Excuse me.
And Sam actually looks scared.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Well, if it doesn't think you're a threat, it's not going to eat you.
It may consider him a threat. Now, obviously, this is just a little scout. And they're having a parade.
This could be a problem.
Sir, if they've already got control of the primary systems...
This could be a problem.
Jack looks almost endearing in that position, doesn't he? He's kind of, oh, bless. You feel like patting him on the head and giving him an apple.
Pity there wasn't one at the back just limping along right to the rear, bringing up the rear.
Yeah, still making the shit down.
I don't think Daniel's convinced.
Yeah, they say that about beads, and what do you first thing you do is wave your hand at them.
Me, I'd be thinking that door is just going to slam down any second.
Couldn't they crawl under? They seriously have to roll under.
My lord, the ship is infested with replicators.
How? Oh.
I am unsure. They control the engine room.
Destroy them!
We cannot. There are too many of them and too few of us. We must...
Creature fuck!
That's not good. Where can you run to now, Apophis? Not there. They have been bountiful and multiplied.
Yes, unlike the Jaffa.
Well, you've got to admire the courage.
That's not courage, that's stupidity. All they're doing is giving them energy to replicate with.
Well, at this point, they probably don't know too much about the replicators, except for what they learnt on their own ship. And let's face it, if Apophis was as quick to abandon that ship as he is this one, I mean, he just locked his men out for a start. Yeah, the replicators really ought to learn to open doors. It'd make life so much easier for them.
They don't need to open doors. They can, in fact, why would they open raw materials and just eat the damn door?
Hello.
That's a nice little gesture by Daniel. A little wiggly hand motion.
The replicators have had more than enough time to reach unmanageably large numbers.
Let's just hope they let the cargo ship alone. It's our only way out of here.
Chances are they have. I mean, they focus on controlling the mothership first.
Well, brainwashed or not, we can't just leave Teal'c here.
I know.
You and Jacob secure the cargo ship. Carter, you're with me.
They're not P-90s, are they?
Yeah, they're P-90s.
Hmm. Replicated weapons are shotguns.
Well, they didn't carry any shotguns with them, did they?
You know how to use one of these?
Why did they bring so many weapons? I'm not saying it's a bad thing now, but why did they bring so many weapons?
At the time, the SG had this ship under control. It was our ship, wasn't it? So obviously they'd have some munitions on board, and the P-90 is the favoured weapon.
But you say it's blasphemy. If I hear it again, I will kill you myself.
If our weapons have no effect, what can we do?
Human weapons will work. There are crates of them in storage.
Yes, they're everywhere. You can hear them. It's like in the air vents.
Assuming there are air vents.
And there must be some way to circulate air throughout the ship. It's not that impressive, that Teal'c couldn't hold, because she can hear the damn things.
Mm-hmm. It's the pulse grenade, isn't it? A stun thingy?
Yeah.
Push the button, roll, and sort of run away.
Yes, it's been the bane of SG-1 for many a situation.
Are they going to stand there and stare at it stupidly like SG-1 always did, even after it had gone off more than once?
Probably.
Doesn't strike me as a sound strategic decision.
Well, at least,
well,
yeah,
at least
they
Teal'c had the sense to run away, yeah.
Yes. Now they're shooting him in the back.
Unlike SG-1, which is like, oh, look.
Ooh, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Oh, look. You can see the actual devices on the wall that are exploding. In a few years' time, they'll be able to take them out in the computer without, you know, minimal cost.
Atmospheric shutters online. Cargo bay is pressurized.
This must have been fun to make, though.
Hey, you get to have a running gun battle with you.
Yeah. No, say, I wondered why they were running around the cargo bay. Obviously, it must have been pressurised.
Okay, but how the hell is this going to get them home? It doesn't have super hyperdrive.
It doesn't. It gets them off for the replicator-controlled ship, so...
I have what may seem like a dumb question.
Yeah?
Don't we need to open those big cargo bay doors in order to fly the ship out?
Well, this ship has remote access to the door controls. Hopefully the bugs haven't overridden it.
Hopefully.
You don't want to check?
I don't want to tip them off before we have to.
Sir, we gotta move!
Oh, another one down. Good job they brought plenty of ammo. Oh, nice tilt.
Yes.
He really ran away. A staff blast at point blank. Slow-mo. Oh, got him.
Nice dramatic shot with the laser, which of course, though would be visible because of all the cordite smoke hanging in the air. I'm prepared to go with the physics of that.
Well, yeah, and the dust from the scenery.
Mm.
The actual concussion from all the bullets is actually shaking the wall so much, they're actually starting to break down into the dust and...
We have a tweet.
Do we?
Woo-hoo. Yes, from Dragoness Anna, a.k.a. Adriana. You guys have gotten so much better about keeping your feedback current. Just remember to check the old emails /feedbacks. Lol.
Hope Junior keeps them that way.
Did I say lol with suitable dramatic irony?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, Apophis, you met your match now. Did he look a bit scared?
Apophis.
Yeah, here you go. We've been shot! You resisted a little.
Hey, yeah. Oh, I had to shoot. Can we go now?
I didn't say it, though.
Yeah, there were the shooting glasses, because not only a safety feature, but it allows them to actually film the scene, standing, you know, multiple people firing automatic weapons in the same scene. Otherwise, it would have been impossible.
They're in hyperspace.
What was that?
The mothership just jumped to hyperspace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now what?
Now nothing. We can't open the cargo bay doors and fly out while we're in hyperspace.
So they can't escape now. So plan B, or is this plan C?
Hmm. Hmm.
Oh, that's handy to have a control panel and viewing screen just in a corridor. Sure, it's into a vending machine or something.
You never see vending machines on gold chips. I mean, what does your fart eat?
Yeah, they must eat something. Do they bitch about the prices?
When have we last seen Teal'c actually eat something?
Very rarely.
Dad.
I see. The ship is travelling at 10 times its capable hyperspeed?
And the speed's still increasing. 20 times? 30? This is incredible. The bugs must have modified the engines.
They can do that?
They can do almost anything. They're very advanced.
And aside from upgrades, we haven't really seen the crew eat. Or the rest of them. It's nice that Sam actually gets to tell Jacob something on this mission. He's like, yeah, I know something you don't. Yeah.
They've reached a critical number. They look for new sources of technology to consume.
Then the information in the computer about Apophis's base must make it look pretty appetizing. This is great news. We'll be back in our own galaxy in no time. When they come out of hyperspeed, we can jump ship and fly home.
I wouldn't exactly call that great news.
We can't let the bugs get a foothold in our galaxy.
No.
It is a plan, which is more than they had 30 seconds ago.
Yes, but it's not a good plan.
Right. Once it was set on Apophis's ship, the bugs couldn't seem to shut it off.
Looks like the bugs have figured out good old computers. They can't get into the main system.
No.
It is a plan, which is more than they had 30 seconds ago.
Yes, but it's not a good plan. In fact, it's quite possibly the second worst plan in the history of bad plans.
So, computer access is denied to him.
If we destroy the sublight engine controls,
the ship won't be able to stop.
And it'll crash right into Apophis's planet.
Now, we would have to wait until just after the ship came out of hyperspace, so the bugs won't have time to change trajectory.
All right, how do we destroy these engines?
All we have to do is eliminate the control crystals.
In the engine room.
Which is bug central, probably.
Yes, we haven't had this ship very long, have we? Jack's not happy.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
To be sure, we would have to physically destroy the crystals ourselves. A P90 at close range should do the job.
Oh, now see, that doesn't sound like...
You got a better idea, Mr. Positive?
Cheer up, guys. This is a plan. It's a workable plan.
A risky plan, but it's no more risky than, say, blowing your son up.
Or just staying where you are. That's seriously supercharging the engine. That is 800 times as fast as a standard ship.
Joseph just pulled that number out of his head.
The way they're going to be home very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So much for being 100-odd years away.
Well, even if it's 100-odd years away at maximum speed and they're going 800 years, they're still 3 months out. Well, okay, not 3 months out, but what? They're 6 weeks away. If it's 800 times its previous speed and it was going to take 100 years, then they're 6 months away. Or 6 weeks, rather.
Yeah, but you can factor in all sorts of unknown variables into that, can't you? Which can justify anything.
I'm going to play the math geek card one more time.
Oh, that's one big mass of bugs.
Big bug.
I guess that explains the extra power.
Listen. Let's not make it up.
Well, go on, if you bring me up some actual verified data on, relativistic travel after the speed of light, we haven't even got a clue what happens if you can go faster than the speed of light.
All right, fair enough.
All I know is what Star Trek have told me, and I'm sure that doesn't apply here.
Well, you see, Star Trek warp factors are orders of magnitude. So warp 2 is 10 times warp 1 and so on.
That's it, Jack. Shoot the rubber crystals.
Ready?
Wait for it, sir.
Because they couldn't use glass ones, because they'd shatter and be dangerous. Yes.
Oh, now it's best.
That's a nice shot, that is. That's some nice special effects.
That's some nice CGI. They've gone with the cockroach effect.
Yeah. Basically, in that scene, the director's just shouting, run for your lives and shoot.
Mm-hmm. Why bother shooting?
You realise it must take some work, though, to film this scene. You've got the cameraman running along with them. Were the days before the Steadicam and all, so he's literally got the camera on his shoulder.
There's a lot of, this is off the next episode of CG Quiet, because this is seriously...
Yes, you can see the dollar signs in the corner just whizzing past.
Well, what I've always thought is, I presume they blow a percentage of the next season's budget, but any remaining budget from the previous season, and they fill in both halves together.
Well, and we ain't got proof either way, have we? I've never read anything to that effect.
Well, that's just the way I do it.
That's what I would say, assuming you've got a budget for next year, and you know that when you're filming the last episode. Go on, go with that, and they won't make it. Save yourself.
Make it to Ring Room.
Guys, we gotta go now! Jack, Sam, Daniel! I'll try!
Hurry!
Yeah, so they couldn't afford the special effects for that ringing in.
No.
Get out of here!
I thought, they didn't bring Daniel! For a couple of seconds, I thought, where's Daniel?
Doors are closing.
They've overridden our controls.
Oop, they're...
Step on it. Yeah, stop talking about it and go.
Gonna make it?
I don't want to.
Now, if those little winglets hadn't come out, they'd get through this door easily. down the ship.
You get some idea of scale.
You feel sorry for that planet. I mean, you look on the planet, there's a full civilization down there, because the whole continent's lit up. Yeah. And you've got a sudden great big...
This is a nice ending for Apophis.
Oh, yeah. But that is going to destroy that world.
Well, not necessarily.
They're going to be in nuclear winter for the next 200 years.
Because it wasn't Apophis' supergiant ship, it was just a regular-sized one. Might only cover half the continent.
Yeah, a regular-sized hyperspace-capable ship slamming into a planet at 200,000 miles an hour.
Well, if it's 800 times light speed, 200,000 a second.
Well, they came out of light speed, didn't they? They were under sunlight. Either way, that planet is toast.
Isn't Calnery?
Yes, and minus armour, because they can't sit down wearing armour.
Ooh.
You may torture me all you wish. I will tell you nothing.
I will speak in a dramatic fashion, but I shall tell you nothing.
You didn't give me much choice, though. Apophis is dead.
Oh, reaction. No? Well, wait for it.
I do not believe you.
Trust me.
Gods cannot be killed.
Interesting final line from Teok.
Probably true. Could argue the fact that we haven't got proof either way. But in this case, Apophis can be killed. And Fade.
Indeed. That was fun.
That was a season opener.
Oh, yeah. You watch that, and even if you hadn't seen it before, you'd be like, I want to see another episode. I mean, that's a hook to pull them in, that is. I can't actually remember when I started watching this regularly. I think it was around halfway through season 3.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, yeah, I mean, and that was fun, and that's the season opener. It's pretty much, there isn't really a lot else you can say about the episode. It very clearly leaves you sort of wanting to watch the next one. It's not as if, okay, I've seen that, I don't need to look at it anymore. Like, ooh, what happens next?
Yeah, I guess.
They've left enough of it hanging.
I said, they pull out all the stops for the season premieres and season finales. I mean, you think about it, you know, they're two episodes that's probably going to get the casual viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly get the most promotion out of any episodes of the season.
Indeed.
So you really, you know, do make an effort.
Coming soon on Fox, Stargate Season 5.
Yes, unfortunately, they start running the promos, then they cancel it. It didn't even make one episode.
I did hear they cancelled one program before it actually even ran. They commissioned it and then they cancelled it.
Nothing unusual about that.
No, I mean, I think that actually, they sort of said, yes, we'll do this, and then said, actually, no, we won't. We don't like the pre-numbers.
Well, like I say, it's always a gamble. Until you actually see the final product, you're never quite sure what you're going to get.
Yes.
Firefly is probably a good example of that. I'm sure Fox were thinking of they were getting one show from Joss Whedon, and they got something different, hence the one of their worst episodes made, The Train Job.
Well, because they were forced them to make it on very short notice, and basically, we're showing this season opener. What? Next week's... Oh, actually, that's just a blather about the email briefing. Well, thank you for downloading. If you want to email us, the information about that is coming up. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well.
Come try ya!
Okay, next week's episode is entitled Threshold. And my blurb says, Teok may have been rescued from the evil Apophis, but his mind remains loyal to his old master. Braytax suggests an ancient Jafar ritual called Mal Shoran, a process which could bring Teok back to his senses or end his life. Is yours of equal, or do you have it to hand?
I don't have it to hand.
Oh, okay.
It'd probably be uninspiring garbage anyway.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
He's going to destroy us.
Excuse me?
125 miles from Earth, an epic battle begins.
I'm enjoying their style.
Shoot first, send flowers later.
Between not one...
This could be a problem.
...but two of SG-1's most feared enemies...
You know how to have a good time, don't you?
Having a good time now, sir.
...and just when they could use a trusted ally...
Buddy!
...comes a shocking act of betrayal.
Well done, Chuck.
Now, in this team's greatest test of survival...
That is a big bug.
...who will live... And who will die?
Let's go!
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
I thought that was actually rather inspiring garbage. That's garbage goes.
Who knows? Perhaps they've got a new writer in for this season. The DVD company.
I've been told that I should type on occasion more because the sound of my typing is missed for some reason.
Okay.
Okay. Feedback. Should I read out the Facebook page feedback? Because it's not episode specific. I don't know if you want to drop it into Saturdays.
What we got?
You replied. You know what we've got. Although I suppose the way in which I gave the specific time and weather report at the start is sufficient reaction to the feedback. Let me just, for the sake of it, we have nothing at all in Gmail. I hear your mouse wheel scrolling.
Yeah, because I'm looking at web pages.
Spam, 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 spam. Yeah. A notification that Mike Jacobs and... Gain Deckard are following us.
Oh, one Drew.
Andrew's following us?
No, he's on Facebook.
Oh.
My God, GWC are going to take over Facebook. Da, da,
da. How is this a bad thing?
Probably not a bad thing. More followers than us already.
Did you take a look at the website I created for the Tyrion's Landing podcast? I'm not happy with it. I need to improve it, but just purely for my own personal self-aggrandizement, have a quick look. It's tyrionslanding.podbean.com.
I haven't got a clue how to spell Tyrion's.
T-Y-R-I-O-N-S.
T?
Y-R-I-O-N-S.
Say that again without the Irish accent.
T-Y-R-Y-O-N-S.
Come on, help me out here. T-Y-R?
Yes. I-O-N, as in Ion.
Tyrion, okay. Landing.
No, it's Tyrion, so it's an S before the landing. Podbean.com. I need to get better aspect ratio pictures.
Yes, you do.
They seem to think it looks great. I especially like my picture of the dwarf. I think that's a good one, the dwarf. Bran's okay. Eri is okay. Although, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to use the full-size pictures because I'd scale them down. I'm going to use the full-size pictures and then resize them to that shape so that they actually look better quality.
Yeah.
Because I have width and height defined. But the only really decent... Well, the picture of Rob isn't bad. But it looks slightly stretched. It looks like he's in 16:9 when he should be in 4:3.
Well, whose podcast is this, and or what?
This is Jeannie and Nikki. They're a bit behind, but because they've just released their show 3, but they're covering the TV show of Game of Thrones as it's running.
Oh, is there a promo?
No, but I will suggest they record one.
So many podcasts do not have a promo, and I go looking for promos to play. Even some of the, you know, my favourite podcasts I listen to don't have promos. And if they don't, and some of them have promos, which are so long, it'd be an entire segment of our podcast. So you think, come on, 2-3 minutes for a promo, that's a bit much.
Promos shouldn't be more than 45 seconds, really. I've heard a couple of errors on other podcasts with me on them. I'm kind of going, oh, it's me. I don't recall agreeing to participate in this. I'm kidding. I do appreciate the huge amount of work you put into this bloody thing, primarily because it saves me having to do it. Having done it for my own solo podcast, I'm more admirable of Aaron because recording the bloody thing is bad enough. Actually, having to sit down and edit it afterwards is a pain, that's it. You're stuck with me.
You are infinitely better at this than I am.
Thank you.
You could press start and you could prattle on for an hour, no problem.
Prattle on for an hour. Okay, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for any feedback that you've given us. We do appreciate it.
That was Enemies. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Next week is Threshold. Brace yourself for a fantastic season 5 of the Gatecast and of SG-1. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visitors at gatecast.facecast.com.